This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
I want to talk to you today. I'm going to flip the script a little bit, if it's okay. We've been talking about, you know, I've got issues, and we're still talking about I've got issues, but I want to flip the script a little bit this morning, just something the Lord's laid on my heart. And instead of calling today I've got issues, I've flipped it a little bit and called we have issues. I want to talk to us as a group. We have issues. And right in front of us, we see the issues facing our world today and all the distractions and divisions and all the things happening. It's like they're all in front of us. We see it and we're like, oh, man, it's so obvious. I grew up in Florida, and I've probably shared this before, but my brothers and I, we love these things. You've probably maybe seen them. We call them fire ants. You might call them red ants, but these fire ants would build these huge mounds in Florida, and my brother and I would love to just go and step on those things and cause chaos. It was the best. If you know anything about them, they're just these beautiful. If you ever go look at an anthill, it's calm. There's no chaos. It's just beautiful. But as soon as you step on that thing, bam, chaos happens. And it's fun, right? Now, what I've learned, though, what we always forgot, we weren't really smart kids. We always thought that even though we would do that, for some reason, we still did it all the time, but for some reason, every time we did it, 90% of the time we did it, we got bit. And that's kind of what happens. Maybe you feel like, man, I'm trying to do everything right. I'm living my life right, but it seems chaotic. And maybe I'm getting bit a little bit. I don't know if you've ever had someone ask you, if you've been around Christianity for a while, if you've ever had someone ask you, like, and maybe it caught you off guard, but they asked you, like, for prayer. Would you pray for me? Or maybe you've had, I don't know if you've ever been there before where someone says, hey, I need prayer. And you're like, yeah, me too. I need prayer too. And they're like, no, I mean, I need you to pray for me. Like, I need prayer. And you're like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah, my bad. And you're caught off guard a little bit. And you're like, God, I pray for JoJo. And, you know, you're kind of like in that space. And it's hard when someone puts you on the spot and you don't know what to say. And you know how to respond or what to pray. And so I had this question as I was preparing for today and for today's services. It really stuck with me, this thought, this same thought. Like, what would happen if you put Jesus on the spot and asked him to pray for you? Like, what would that look like? You said, Jesus, I put him on the spot. I want you to pray for me. Like, what would Jesus pray for you if you asked him on the spot to pray for you? Like if he was strapped for time and he could only pray for one thing, what would he pray for? Well, the good news is the Bible gives us an answer to that question. And it's found in the Gospel of John. When Jesus does just that, he's about to go to the cross, he's about to die for you and me, and he knows that once he dies and once he leaves, that life's going to get hard for you. He knows that he's going to defeat death, absolutely, but he also knows that sickness will still be around. Like, he knows he's going to overcome sin through the cross, but he also knows that temptation is still going to be present in our world. Like, he knows he's going to defeat evil, but there's still going to be those who still choose darkness over light. And he knows that the values that he's been teaching us are radical. And if you and I choose to live by them, then we're going to face persecution in this world. If we choose to live by them, we're going to face ridicule in this world. So in light of all that, the weight that you and I now feel, he prays for us. Now, we're going to read John chapter 17 in just a second, but I want you to understand the context of what's happening here. Because you got to pay attention to the words, because the guards are coming for Jesus at this point. Like, he's about to be arrested. And they'll arrive in chapter 18, and he's praying for you in chapter 17. And through his prophetic abilities, he can see the guards coming. He can see their shields and their swords, and they're making their way to him. And he's got one chance. He's got one moment, one shot to pray one thing for you. And this is what he prays for you and me. John chapter 17. He says this. This is Jesus talking. My prayer is not for them, talking about the Jesus' 12 disciples. Now, I'm going to put some parentheses in there because there's a lot of them in these verses, and I want you to know, and I think you should know, who is the them that Jesus is talking about. So he says, my prayer is not just for them, talking about his 12 disciples, my prayer for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their, the disciples, message. And he goes on and says, that all of them, meaning the church, may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. So Jesus, this is a metaphor. What Jesus was praying is, even though we're all different, we can still be one. Like, just because God and Jesus and the God and the Father are different, they're still one. They're one God and different. And he goes on and says in verse 21, may they, the church, also be in us, God, so that the world, those outside of the church, may believe that you've sent me. Goes on, he says, I have given them, the church, the glory that you gave me, that they, the church, may be one as we are one. You can hear the theme happening right here. He goes on, he says, in them, the church, and you in me, so that they, the church, may be brought to complete unity. He continues, because then, and only then, the world, those outside of the church, will know that you sent me and have loved them, the church, even as you have loved me. So what would Jesus pray? What would he pray for if he only had one chance to pray for you and me? I think today, and it's so apical today, I think he would pray that we would be one. Pray that we'd be one. Here's the definition of the church. I want to give it to you real quick. The church is a body of people united by their faith in Jesus as Savior, Lord, and coming King. That's the definition of the church. People united by faith in Jesus as Savior, Jesus as Lord, and the coming King. And each of those words are important, by the way, because everyone wants Jesus as Savior, of course. That's a great thing, man. Jesus as Savior is a good thing. That's what saves us from hell. That's what saves us from sin. That's what saves us from addiction. That's what saves us from our issues. But a lot of people, they want Jesus as Lord, or Jesus as Savior, but a lot of people don't want him as Lord. And you can't have him as Savior if you don't have him as Lord. They go hand in hand. Lord is saying, not only am I grateful that you are saving me, God, but I'm also going to live my life according to the ways and the instructions that you have for my life. It's saying, God, I'm going to follow you as my Lord. And then the definition refers that he's also the coming King. That you and I believe that Christ is coming again, and not just coming again, he's coming again to set this crazy world right. That's why he's coming again. Where salvation gives you life, where making him Lord gives you protection, Jesus as coming King gives you and me hope. And in this dark world, and we need some hope. And it gives us hope that this is not going to last forever. Like, God is going to set this thing right. And here why this is important that you know this, who he's talking to in John chapter 17. Because I wrote this today. When Jesus prays for you, he doesn't mention you, only them. He only has mentioned you, he mentions them. I don't know if you caught this. When he prays for you, he doesn't mention you, he mentions only them. So in other words, when he talks, when he writes in here and he talks about Corinthians, the book of Corinthians in the Bible, he's talking to you, but he's not mentioning you. He's mentioning them, the church of Corinth. When he talks about the book, when you read the book of Philippians, he's talking to you, absolutely, but he's mentioning them, the church in Philippi. When he talks to you in the book of Ephesians, he's talking to you, but he's not mentioning you. He's mentioning them, the church in Ephesus. When he talks to you in the book of Revelation, he talks about these seven churches, and he mentions them by name. He's talking to you, but he's referencing the church. Because hear me this morning, he doesn't identify you as a Christian. He identifies you as a church. And this is important. Listen, because if you identify as a Christian, you must identify with a church. You can't separate the two. If you identify as a Christian, you must identify with the church. And if you're new here, I'm not trying to get you to commit here. That'd be great. We'd love to have you. But this is not what that's about. I'm trying to get all of us in this room to experience and understand the full blessing of what it means to be a Christian. Like the full blessing of what it means to follow Christ. Because hear me this morning. Saying you're a Christian and you don't have a church is like saying you're a fan of a sport, but you don't have a team. It's like saying you're a fan of a sport, but you don't have a team. Like, well, I believe in God. I'm like, well, that's awesome. Which one? Because there's a lot of gods out there, and they're not all the same. Like, you got to pick one. Like, you got to say, what team are you a part of, right? Like, the God of Islam is different than the God of Christianity. Like, our God is different than the God of the Hindus. It's different than the Asian gods. It's different than the gods of this world. And I get why we don't want to identify with the church sometimes. I understand. Because sometimes the players don't represent well. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes the players don't represent well. And I get it. I get it the more than you know. That the players just aren't representing us very, very well, right? Because you could be a Cowboys fan, right? You could be that. And man, it pains me. It pains me to even have to put this on. It pains me. You could be this. Because that's the thing. You can't be a fan and not have a team. But how many know, because I understand your pain. I understand when it could be embarrassing, right? When you want to rep something so well, when you want to be proud of something, but the players, how many know sometimes the players fumble? Sometimes the players throw interceptions. Sometimes they get called for penalties. Sometimes they get injured. But you know what? You have to remind yourself sometimes as a fan. Hear me. I'm not a fan because of the name on the back. I'm a fan because of the name on the front. And when the name on the back does something that embarrasses you or frustrates you, I can still be proud of the name on the front. And hear me this morning. The name on the front of all of our jerseys this morning is Jesus. And sometimes a person can make mistakes. And sometimes Christians can hurt you. But that has nothing to do with the name that's on the front of the jersey. He is still Jesus. He's still God. And he is still good. And it's important that you have a team so that you have someone to celebrate with when you win. And Cowboy fans don't get to celebrate very much. It's important you have a team that you have someone to cry with when you lose. They get to cry a lot. But it's important you have that team. Community, guys, is you don't always know everyone in the room. We don't all run in the same circles, but we are a community. We are a community that when one hurts, we all hurt. And when one celebrates, we all celebrate. And we need people in our lives when we walk through things, when we experience fear and confusion like we are absolutely feeling right now in 2025. We need people in our lives who can say to us, you're all right. We need people in our lives to say, it's going to be okay. We need people in our lives to say, we're going to get through this. You're going to get through this. And we all share the pain. And sometimes we just keep losing. And you become one of those fans. And you got to be careful not to become one of those fans. You know what those fans are? They're the only fans when things are winning. And we have a word for them. We call them bandwagon fans. They always want to be on the winning team. And you have to be careful, church, that we don't become bandwagon Christians. Like the only rep, we only rep Jesus when things are going good. Like when life is up and things are happy. We're only fans when the pastor does what we feel he should do. We're only fans when the church style is our style. We're only fans when we show up to church when life is good and things are perfect, when the kids are doing good and the job is good. And we're only praising God when things are going your way. And we got to praise God like a true fan. And a true fan of God says, I praise him in the good times and I praise him in the bad times. We are loyal no matter the circumstances. Because here's what I want all of you to know about my Jesus this morning. He wins in the end. It might seem like you're losing. He ain't losing. He wins in the end. John chapter 16, this is Jesus speaking. So in John 17, he's praying for us. But in John 16, he's actually preaching to us. In John 16, he's preaching to us, and he says these things to us. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Perfect peace. He goes on to say, in this world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustrations. But be of good cheer. That's a good fan. Take courage, he's basically saying. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. Because get this, why? Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world, which basically means this. I've deprived the world of its power to harm you. There's no, you have conquered it. I have conquered this thing for you. You don't have to worry about it. And this is why Jesus does not pray for our victory, which makes sense, right? Wouldn't it be great if Jesus said, hey, God, let them win at everything. Lord, wouldn't it be a great prayer? Jesus praying for us, say, hey, you know, let's let them win. It's going to be great life. Everyone's going to be rosy. I would love that prayer. But that's not what Jesus doesn't pray for our victory, because our victory is already won. It's already won. But this also is why he prays for our unity, because our unity is what it takes for us to have victory. We need to be united. So when Jesus prayed for you, get this, his concern was not, will we win? It was, will we be one? Not worried about whether you're going to win or lose. He's worried about, will you be one? Because here's the church, I want to encourage you today. You're going to make it. But how you're going to cross the finish line is important. That's where unity comes into place. And for those of us today who came to church, I'd say, hey, man, you've won. That's part of the victory. That's part of the battle. You're here. Some of you are here today, and you dragged your feet the whole way here, kicking and screaming, but you're here. Some of you walked into the room, and you're going through some things internally, emotionally. You're walking through those things, and Jesus is saying, listen, if you can just get around some people, that a community to help you out, if you just understand the power of one, you can make it through this thing. He doesn't just say unity. I love the scripture. He says complete unity. There's a difference. And that's important, because I believe complete unity is made up of three parts. And the Bible talks about it in this passage. Jesus mentions complete unity in three areas. He says this. He says complete unity is found with one another. Complete unity is found with each other. Complete unity is found when we are one with God. Complete unity is found when we are one with the mission. That's where complete unity is found. Here's the message to you. Complete unity is when you're one with each other, when you're one with God, and when you're one with the mission. Now, I want to encourage you right now. I don't want to have this jersey on the whole sermon. I'm going to take it off, right, for all my anti-cowboy fans in the house, right? But I just want to make one more point to you this morning. That first point, like, what does it mean to have complete unity? He talks about having community one with each other. Again, reminder, John chapter 17, Jesus is saying, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their, talking about the disciples' message. Then he goes, that all of them, the church, may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Remember the metaphor that God is using, that they are different, but the same, and they are one. I want to encourage you, church, if you want to see God's end game for your life, open the book of Revelation. If you want to see God's end game for the world, just read the book of Revelation. If you want to see God's end game for the church and all of that, then all you have to do is look at the last book in the Bible called Revelations. And I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but I've heard this so many times, and I've heard people say this, and it's with a good heart, and I get it. But so many times, you ever heard this before, like, in heaven, there will be no color. We'll all be one. Like, there'll be no different. Well, there'll be no black or white. We'll all be the same when we get to heaven. In heaven, we're all just going to be people and be the same, which I don't really know what that means. I guess we're all just clear, all right? Like little clear pieces of glass walking around or something. And I've heard that before in church. You know, there's no differences in heaven. We're all the same. And I get what people are saying, and I get that. I just know that's not what my Bible says. Revelation chapter 7 writes it this way. After this, I saw a vast crowd too great to count. This is John, the disciple John writing. He's not talking about earth. He's actually talking about heaven, what he saw in heaven. And he goes, I'll say, I saw this vast crowd. And look what he says. From every nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. And I think this is important because in heaven, you and I are going to be standing next to some people. You and I in heaven, you know, we're going to be standing next to our Russian brothers and sisters in Christ. In heaven, we're going to be standing next to our Chinese brothers and sisters in Christ. In heaven, man, we're going to be sitting next to our Iranian and Israeli brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to be standing next to our African brothers and sisters in Christ. He also says every tribe. And you may be thinking, well, we don't have tribes anymore. And I'm like, you're wrong. They're called Republicans and Democrats. And guess what? In heaven, we're going to be standing next to our Republican brothers and sisters in Christ. In heaven, we're going to be standing next to our Democrat brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to be standing next to our independent brothers and sisters in Christ. Like Jesus doesn't ask you when you get up to the gate what party you belong to before you go into heaven. He asks you when you get there, when you stand before the gates, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That was the requirement. That is the requirement. And we have to stop adding more requirements to salvation than the one that Jesus had for us. He also says in there, he added, and people. Every tribe and people. What does that mean? It means black people, white people, brown people, every tent. Every stature, it means rich people, poor people, middle class people. It means young people and some old people. No, all old people, I'm sorry. But it's people. It's said in their language, every language. It means this. We're not only going to be worshiping in English. Man, we're going to be worshiping in Spanish and French, Italian, all my ASL people. You know, whatever. Every language. Can you imagine the sound of worship in heaven? And in heaven, we'll all speak the same languages and you're finally going to get it. And now look at what they were doing. All these people, different people, all over makeups, all of us different people. And then he says this, they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. Just pause for a second. You probably missed it, right? Here's the deal. They're all in white robes. You know what they're? They're all wearing the same jersey. Different people all wearing the same jersey. They're wearing the same jersey. And they've got palm branches in their hands. Let me translate. You know what I'm saying? You've been to that before? You were there last night. Same jersey. Palm branches in their hand, and look what they're doing, why they're there. Same, different people, same jersey, praising this amazing God. And they were what? Shouting with a great roar. They were saying, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Different people coming together. What brings us together? Why are we one? Because we can celebrate and we can give praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all of us as one. Heaven is not a place where differences are destroyed. You know what? Heaven is a place where differences come together to give praise to the one who stays the same. And that's what we're doing. I can't wait to wave a finger with all of you in heaven, right? Same jersey, worship to God. I can't wait to praise him. And that's something. I'm going to take this jersey off now, okay? Because I can't wear this. It's like sacrilegious to wear this. And my beautiful wife's going to help me because I borrowed this jersey from a lady, so it's a little small. So. Hey, it worked. So, thank you. All right. Can I just say this to you this morning? I'm proud to be an American. I love my country. I love the Olympics. How many love Olympics, right? I love the Olympics because, you know, it's the one time we could come together and root and cheer for my team. If you're into golf, I love golf. The Ryder Cup's going on right now. I want to cheer for America, but they are losing very, very bad to Europe. It breaks my heart. I get mad about it. I'm proud of my country. And yes, I have opinions. I have opinions. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like what happened in Utah at all. I don't like what's happened in North Carolina and Denver and now Dallas. I don't like it. You know what? It makes me angry. I'm an American. But hear me. America can't be my first team. America can't be my first team. These issues are not our first team. Democrat, Republican can't be your first team. Like your personal enjoyment can't be your first team. Your preferences can't be your first team. Your issues can't be your first team. Your first team has to be Christian. Your first team has to be Christ. Your first team has to be church. And then you can have all those other teams. I'm for all those other teams. But I think Jesus needs to be first team. And here's the good news, because I just believe this, that if Jesus is the first team, everything else just has a way of coming together. Everything else just seems to make its way together. But what I'm seeing in our world today, especially in the church, and it breaks my heart, CLC, is people that are elevating their second team as their first team. We can't do that. This is why Sundays are important, everybody. This is so important when we gather together. Because you know what? In your real life, you can select who you follow and who you don't follow on social media. You can select what news outlet you believe in and you subscribe to. You can do that. We can select our personal friend groups and who we choose to hang out with. But hear me this morning. Sunday morning is the only space where you don't get to decide who comes. You don't get to decide who comes, who gets to walk in these doors. And we are forced to sit together. We're forced to worship together. We're forced to serve one another. Like in church, anyone can come. As long as you're not disruptive. We have security for you if that's you in the room, all right? We'll take care of you. Anyone can come because Jesus should be accessible to anyone. Anyone should be able to come to CLC and hear me. Anyone should be able to come and know God. Find God. Did you be able to come and know who God is? Anyone should be able to walk into our church today and find freedom. Man, life's been tough. Well, okay, we got an answer for you. We got somebody who can bring freedom to you. Anyone should walk into our church, be a part of our church, and discover their purpose. Because here's the reality. God's got a destiny and a purpose for everyone in this room. You should be able to find it in the church. And in the end of it all, you should be able to come to church and you should be able to make a difference. Because that's what we're called to do. And that's what unity does when we come together. We ultimately find God, find freedom, discover purpose, and man, make a difference. That is who we are. That is CLC. This is what we believe. But sometimes, let's just be honest, I look out at y'all and I want to apologize to the person you're sitting next to right now. Joking, not, but I am. I'm not sorry. Sorry, but I'm not sorry. Because we need to be able to be what God created us to be. And you know what that is? It's just a collection of different people worshiping together the same unchanging God. Collection of different people worshiping the same unchanging God. Like, it's good to be a church with different people. Young, old, rich, poor, employed, unemployed, single mom, single dad, happily married, single, widow, divorced, sinner, and sold out. Why? Why is that important? Because you know what it does? It humbles you. It humbles you. I've never told this story, but when I was about 22 years old, I was finishing up my Bible college year, and one of the requirements is we had to, for my college degree, was we had to do an internship. And I was in Florida, but they shipped me all the way to the country of Ohio. And so I did my internship up there, and I was interning there, and there was the pastor I was with. He had a group of guys that he did kind of a men's devotion or discipleship group with and had me be a part of that and everything. And so near the end of this group time together, he decided he was going to do a foot washing ceremony. Now, if you don't been around church, you don't know what that is. It's kind of resembles what Jesus did with his on the last day when he was with his disciples. He had supper with them, and they're sitting down, and he kneels down with his disciple, and he washes his disciples' feet. So this is a practice that some have done in the church. You see from time to time, and I just want to encourage you, we'll never do that on a Sunday morning, so you don't have to wear clean socks every week just in case, all right? But this is kind of crazy, you know? And so it was, you don't see it often, but it was a symbol. It was done in smaller groups as a symbol of serving others and showing them, hey, I'm not better than you. So we're doing that. And there was this guy in the church, knew him from the time I was there, I've seen around. He was what we call a little unique and maybe not as well kept as some people. But he was there. He was committed, always there. And so he's sitting there near the middle of the thing, and my pastor, who I'm interning, looks at me and he goes, Heath. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, Heath, go wash that man's feet. I'm like, yes, sir. And I remember getting down on my knees in front of this guy and like pulling off layers of socks. And like each layer was more interesting than the next layer. And I'm getting there and I'm just like, I can't believe I'm having to do this. This is so beneath me. I remember grabbing the rag and I started washing his feet, but I washed it very carefully. Like it was like dab here, dab there, you know. This is my level of washing his feet. Grabbing the towel and like dry here, dry there. You know, I'm like done, right? And while I'm doing this, literally this guy is weeping. I didn't put any effort into this. And he said to me, thank you. Then my pastor looked at him and said, now you wash Heath's feet. No way. We're done. So this guy kneels down before me, true story, and he grabs the rag and he goes to town on my toes. Like in between my toes, like I felt like he dropped a quick massage in there or something. It was crazy. And yet here's this guy, literally true story, as I'm sitting there, he's washing my feet and I'm crying. And the only reason I'm weeping is because of the way I treated him and the way he treated me. When we serve people, when you serve you, when you serve people, it breaks you. And at CLC, I want to say this, the person that holds the door that walked when you walked in this morning and smiled at you, the person who maybe helps you find a seat, the person who's back there in these rooms teaching your children, these people on the stage who are leading you in worship, when you come up to this corner and you get prayer and it's someone from a totally different age group that's laying hands on you and praying for you, most likely those group of people are different than you. They're different than you, and it should humble you. Serving has a way of do that. And it's important to go to church for those reasons. It's important to go to church with different people because how many know it humanizes them? And I know you probably won't like it, but I really feel like we need to do more of asking you to find someone you don't know. Maybe we need to do some more of, hey, high five your neighbor. And I know some of you will leave the church over it. I'm sorry. But you got to high five your neighbor. And for some of us, it could be the most worst anxiety coming to our lives to have to speak to someone you don't know. But we need people to walk. How do we become one? Is people walk in the room and go and realize they see me. Like people want to walk in the room and be like, man, I need to be seen. People need to be recognized and know you have a place here. Welcome home. You have a place in our church. Welcome home. The joy of the Lord, his face shines upon you, is translated not the way we like to translate it. You know what it really means when we read the Bible and it says, may the joy of the Lord, when his face shines upon you. You know what it really means? It means joy. It means that Jesus or God is happy to see you. When you walk in this room, when you spend time with the Lord, you know what? He's happy to see you. And our brains are wired by God to connect with people who are happy to see us, even though we're different. You have a place here. Welcome here. And just because you don't know them, right? And even though they don't look like you, you and I need to realize they still hurt like you. And even though they don't look like you, you got to understand they hope like you. And there are no categories of our church of sinners and saints. How many of you know we all got issues. And there's a world out there, and they're lost. And they're just like all of us. All different, but the same. You know, in the midst of this crazy climate we're in, you know, it's like I feel the tension from this stage. The tension of, well, does pastor say enough? Did pastor say too much? But like there's this tension of juggling everything around. People have sat with me and say, pastor, you know, you should say this and you should do this. And, you know, we need to challenge our people this way. We need to challenge our people that way. And I'm literally left with one question. How? How? And then it hit me all of a sudden. You know how? We become one. And when we become one, I don't have to come up with some magical program. When we become one, it speaks for itself. That's what Jesus said. When you become one, it tells people of who Jesus really is. Like, and I've juggled it. I want to be receptive to people who are hurting. I want to be receptive to people who are confused. I want to be receptive to people who are open to the gospel. Receptive to people who are full of fear. And some of you are here today because your heart has been stirred. And you're like, well, what's next? This crazy world I'm in, what's next? And you've walked into this place. And I want to encourage you, whether you're walking in for the first time or you've been here forever, I just want to let you know that you've come to the right place. Because the church is where you find answers. The church is where you find hope. The church is where you find community and people to lock arms with and share your journey with. But ultimately, I believe this, you're in the right place because Jesus is the only answer for the world today. The only post and all this craziness that I ever put on was that simple phrase, Jesus is the answer to the world today. Enough, that's all I could say. I know that the reality is we think in our culture and world today that picking a side is the safest place. Well, I just need to pick a side. Because if we pick a side, we at least know that half of them will fight for you. But I would say to you this, what about seeing everyone's pain? What about seeing every coming together at one and seeing everyone's pain? There's a lot of great churches in our community, in our area. And if you want an all liberal church, there's a churches for you. If you want an all Republican church, there's churches for you. If you want a church where you can just slip in and you can slip out very easily, and there's churches for that. And hear me, all love and belief. I expect to see a lot of those people in heaven with us. And no one's better. We aren't better than anybody, and no one's better than anybody. But I just believe this. All long as I'm standing behind this pulpit, if you want to go to a church that holds the tension of you don't mind getting a little challenged sometimes, you don't mind getting a little offended every once in a while, where you don't mind your perspective getting challenged every once in a while, we aren't better than anybody at CLC, but we are different. We are different. And I would say this, all truth, we need to be speaking into the culture. The world and its politics and its policies are messed up. And we have a duty to speak into those things and to challenge those things. But hear me, it starts in here first. Why? I wrote down this way. Because if we can't do it in here, if we can do it in here, then the world can do it out there. If we can do it in here, the world can do it out there. That's why John 17 says when he talked to us about the reason for unity, he said that the world may believe that you have sent me. Did you hear that? So that the world would believe that you sent me. None of that is about us. In other words, the unity is the one thing that serves as evidence to the existence of a real God. Unity. When the world looks at the room like this, all of us coming together, different people, and they're probably saying, well, if they can do it, God must be real. If all these people with all these different ideas and thoughts and age groups and backgrounds can all come together in one room and worship together and serve God, then God must be real. Because I wrote it this way, and it's true. A divided world needs a united church. Divided world needs a united church. And we've seen it. Stadiums filled, worshiping the Lord. Vigils, church attendance growing. But hear me, it can't be a fad, church. It can't just come and go. But I believe that if we come together and we stay together, there's power in that. There's power, staying power, in being one. And that's why today, you guys know me, prop guy, love to do illustrations, but that's why today we're going to give away what I call a reminder gift. Every family, every your single person, whatever, every family in here, we have a gift for you today. We have a gift we want to give you, and if we run out, we'll order more. It's not a big deal, but it's a reminder gift. What are reminder gifts? To me, reminder gifts are there to challenge you and remind you of your duty as a follower of Jesus. And this gift that I'm going to give all of you today might make no sense if we didn't explain it to you. So you have to understand, what I want to explain to you today is that we don't belong to the tribes that we call our own. We think we do, but we don't belong to the tribes we call them. You don't belong to your heritage or your upbringing. You don't just belong to the people group that you call your own. You don't even belong totally to the nation you subscribe yourself to, because the reality is, as Christians, we are citizens of heaven first. We're citizens of heaven first. So our gift to you today is everyone is going to get a toiletry bag with, of course, a CLC logo on it, all right? We couldn't go without that. But I want to give you a toiletry bag, and I know what you're probably thinking, like, what? Why would you give me a CLC branded toiletry bag? And some of you who are new are like, this is cool, I'm coming every week. So let me explain to you. You only need a toiletry bag when you're traveling, or when you're on the road, or you only need a toiletry bag when you're waiting to come back home. When you're ready to get back to where you really keep all your good stuff. And I just need everyone in the room to know that every day that you live on this planet, you are traveling. Every day you live on this planet, you are traveling. This is not your home. This is not your home. Heaven is your home. Heaven is your home. So every time you open your CLC toilet bag, and brush your beautiful hair if you have some. Brush your teeth if you have some. Clip your fingernails or shave. I want you to be reminded that this is not my place. This is not my home. Heaven is my home. And I'm just traveling. I'm just working my way till I get to that place. Church is my people. That is where I belong. But this is not my home. And that's your reminder. And we went a step further. In every one of these bags, we put a few of these cards. These are simply cards, just simply titled, You're Invited. It has our webpage on it. On the back, it has like our service time, QR code, just simple things like that. And we said, you know, I started thinking about this. I'm like, not only that, what if we, in the midst of our travelers, we went out and found some lost travelers? What about those people who need to be directed to their true home? And this is your opportunity. Take a card, say, hey man, I just want to invite you to church. You know, I want to find some lost citizens and give them the opportunity to come home. So we put some of those in there, encourage you to take them, put them, get them with somebody, give them out to you. But I just want to encourage you that it's a reminder gift. It's a reminder gift. I want you to use it. Let me close with this. Jesus mentions unity, the complete unity. And he says part of that complete unity is one with God. And here's what that means. One with God is allowing the Holy Spirit to change who you are. It's allowing to produce fruit in your lives. Oneness does that. Oneness with God does that. Things like love. There's not a lot of love going around right now. Peace. There's definitely not a lot of peace happening. Patience. Not a lot of patience. Oh man, kindness. You probably experienced unkindness just driving here today. Gentleness, joy, self-control. In other words, one with God helps us with our issues. What does that have to do with unity? Because I just believe the Spirit, when he begins to come and you go, man, I'm all in on this thing, God's Spirit dwells inside you and it begins to change you from the inside. It changes the way you see things, who you are. It changes how you fear. It changes how you do life, how you do anxiety. It changes all of that. And then when that happens, when we're one with God, we are unified and identified, not by the cards that we carry, but by the Spirit that we carry inside of us. That's what identifies us. We are one with each other, not because we look like this or we look like that. We're one with each other because we look like God. That's what it does for us. Christians should be identifiable by their fruit. And it's only attainable when you become one with God. Last one, Jesus says, he mentions unity as one with the mission. We find oneness when we're one with the mission. There are four parts of the story of the world: creation, the fall, salvation, and restoration. God created the world. The fall, man messed it up. And then there was salvation. Jesus came to save it. But then there's that last piece called restoration. And this is where the church comes in. Because the church was created by God and is here to restore it the way it was at creation. Like, it's the church's job to bring the world back to the way that God intended it to be when he first made it. That is our mission. There was a study done on the most cohesive and collaborative organizations in the world. They did a study. What are the most cohesive and collaborative organizations in the world? And you know what? There were three jobs that had the most unity. They were simply this: firemen, number one. They were a group that had a fire to fight. The second one was ER doctors and nurses. They had a life to save. And the third one, soldiers. They had an enemy to destroy and a territory to take. So in other words, what brings people together is a common mission and a common goal. Jesus, before he left, says this: go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I want you to hear me clearly this morning, Christian Life Center. As your pastor, man, don't let the devil distract you from the mission. He would love it to make us fight the wrong things and to look at the world in a different lens, in a different light. He's doing it all across the world even now. He would love if we fight stuff instead of fighting things on our knees. He would love it if we hated each other instead of hating sin. He would love it if we hurt people instead of bringing people together. We've got a mission to accomplish. Too many parents are overwhelmed today. Too many marriages are suffering. Too many young people are confused and wanting true spiritual encounters. Too many people are lacking freedom in their lives. And this is how the church started: with a mission to be together, with the power of unity. So I close with this. Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. This is the birthday of the church. They were in one place, like we are today. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now God makes them one language. And check this out. Now they were staying in Missoula, Lolo, Stevensville, Frenchtown, wherever else you're from. Florence. Somebody's going to yell at me. I forgot Florence. Corvallis. Man, I could go all day. Anyway, they were staying in these places, God-fearing Christians from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. I want you to get this morning. A couple people together worshiping the Lord, the Spirit of God comes. That's what we do. And then people start asking, what the heck is going on? Imagine CLC, we come together, different people, different ideas, different walks of life, and yet we come together on one banner, and his name is Jesus. And as we worship him and we become the church, the Spirit of God comes, and people who have no idea who God is are going to find Jesus. People are going to ask, what is happening at CLC? What is happening in the church? Because when the church comes united, the Spirit starts to move. It starts to move on our heart. In fact, I close this way. There are people in this room today searching. You know him religiously. Maybe you've You've heard of him before. For whatever reason, you're here today. You're in this room. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you need to make a decision today to say, I want to be one with God, this is your opportunity. This is your chance. This is all of our chance to join the team. Would you stand with me quickly this morning? And I would just say to all of us in here, we've got a spot on the team. Let's come together, united, different collection of people. We don't play for the players on the back. We play for the player, the team on the front. And that team is Jesus. So Lord, I come to you right now and I just pray and ask right now, Lord, that you would help us in this room to just have a moment to worship you, to honor you. Would you tug at our hearts, Lord, and say, God, I want to be part of being one with God. I want to be part of the solution of saying, hey, Lord, man, with all the confusion and division that we see in our world today, there's still one thing that's constant. It's Jesus. And there's one thing that he works through, and it's called the church. And this is a place where I can come and I can meet with God and I can be sheltered from all the things out there. And I know that I have this God that I can call upon to help me, to guide me, to lead me, and to protect me. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, I just want to ask you, if you're in the room today and you say, listen, I need to join the team. I need to join the team. I want to be a part of what God is doing, and I need to say, God, here's my life. I want to honor you with my life. I don't know whatever reason brought you in the house today, but for whatever reason, maybe this is the message that God has for you. Is like, listen, maybe you've been playing for the wrong team. God says, I got a team for you. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you've been confused. Maybe even the church has hurt you. But this is your opportunity to say, listen, I'm ready to join the team. I want to be what God wants me to be. If that's you this morning, we're not going to embarrass you. It's not our practice here. But if you're here today and you say, listen, I want to give God my heart. Heads bowed or eyes closed, but right where you are, if that's you this morning, would you just put your hand up and back down? I just want to know who I'm praying for. This is my opportunity. Anyone at all, real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else, real quick. Thank you. Thank you. We don't normally do this at CLC. I thought today I'd like to do it because it fits the theme of one. But can we say a prayer together? Like, would you repeat after me? Just let's make this prayer together. Here we go. Ready? Say, Father God, I want to thank you for your son, Jesus. I want to thank you for the church. Lord, help me in the midst of everything going on around me to not lose focus of your team. When I'm hurt, when I'm discouraged, when I'm confused, help me to focus on you. The God who stays the same and never changes.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on the lift of your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. And come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on the lift of your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. And get up.
Lord, we just pray as we close out today, again, that your face, the joy of the Lord, continually shine upon us. And God, you'd go before us, behind us, and beside us, that we can take you with us wherever we go. Lord, we can have peace today. And I pray that maybe there are many people walking in the room today. They're dealing with things. They're wrestling with issues. Some people need healing. Some people just need clarity in their hearts and minds. And we just pray that today, God. There would just be an assurance that you are a real God. And at the end of the day, God, would you make us one? Unite your church together so that we can proclaim Christ to the ends. That this is not our home. We are just travelers in this place. Lord, help us to do good, to do right, and to lift your name up and to make your name famous in everywhere we go. So, Lord, we love you today and we honor you in Jesus' name. Oh, everyone said amen, amen. Come on, let's give us the Lord's day. Hey, listen, real quick before you take off, we have a prayer corner over here. We've got some wonderful people. If you're just walking through something, you just need prayer. It doesn't matter what it is, man. You'd be like, I stubbed my toe today. I need prayer. So we want to pray with you. So just make your way over that corner and take a moment and pray with you. We'd love to do that. See our next steps area. If you're new here, we have a free gift we'd like to give you. Connect groups are all, man, let's find out all the information. This weekend's missions convention. Bring someone back to church with you. Grab your gift on your way out. We love you and appreciate you. God bless you. How you doing?
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.